And we're back.
Yeah, we are.
Just explain that my mic's not
basically working. We're having a bit of a tech problem. I think we've just realised that Valentina's mic's not working, which probably should have figured out beforehand. So I'm going to keep you entertained while Valentina sorts herself out. So basically, that was too much by Sam for if you didn't hear. You may have heard it in the distance because I don't think Valentina's mic's working. So anyway, I'll just give you guys a rough overview of what's going to happen today. So as you may know, I do apologise for the mess. As you may know, it is Movember and we are very excited. Although we are two girls, we love to support causes for male mental health and physical health. And I think this is a really good cause. I feel like men don't get enough attention in health public issues. You know, considering we live in a patriarchy, you'd think that they would. But we, yeah, so basically we are going to... Sorry, Valentina's baby laugh. trying to organise the tech things. Oh, look, her mic's working now. That's
okay,
good.
I'll just go.
So, yeah, well, I've keep you guys entertained. Exactly. And now I promise you it's about to get a lot more
really
put together. Well, yeah, I thought that her mic wasn't working.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Oh, there we go.
But I couldn't hear her in the headset. And then I saw her mic. There's like these red lights around the mics. And I saw that it wasn't on. So that was a bit awks.
I just kept talking as well because I thought it was working.
Yeah.
It's so embarrassing.
I just should have said something off the bat. But I just kind of looked at Valentina like,
I'm sat like 5 miles away from Ali now. I'm surprised she can even see me.
They're going to make eye contact now. Yeah. So
we're back. What have you said, Ali?
Basically, I said that today we'll be talking about mental health and like physical health for men,
yeah,
and how it's really important. And although we are two non-males, you know,
yeah,
we do want to support this cause and we do try to. We can't grow moustaches, although I probably could if I really tried to.
I could do with ease.
Yeah, just get lip waxed all the time.
Exactly.
I also have mentioned that we did do an interview earlier with our special guest.
Oh my god, I can't wait to put that on.
The lovely Tom Hunt.
Mm. So I know Tom Hunt from when I was younger, to be honest. And basically he was the first person I ever like knew who'd got cancer. And I remember like literally when I heard that he had leukemia, I was like, but he's so young. And it was like big shock like amongst like everyone, because I think he was probably one of the first ones that we'd all like heard who'd got ill at the time.
Well, we checked earlier, so he was diagnosed in 2018, which I do think you're a year older than me, Valentina, but I would have been at the point he was diagnosed, just turned 17.
Yeah.
Myself.
Yeah. And he was diagnosed with leukemia. And he'll get into it. He basically explains everything about how he was diagnosed and signs and symptoms. And he offers like quite very, very good advice, I think, for people out there.
Honestly, he's so collected about it. Which
complete opposite of me.
I was about to say, I feel like I would not be. But yeah.
He was so positive, which everyone will hear, but he was literally so positive. And like he was just kind of, it is what it is attitude, which is...
A very good attitude.
A very good attitude, and I think everyone will appreciate listening to him later.
But it's like what we were talking about last week with the, you can either look at it as a disease you need to beat, or you can make it personal. And I feel like he did not make it personal.
No.
He just...
No, it was really... No, you'll...
Yeah, I won't spoil it too much.
I know. Giving it away too much, Hallie.
But yeah, so first we thought we'd start with talking about... Oh yes, before we start, disclaimer, we are not medical professionals.
As always.
Nor will we ever be. We study history. We are two girls, especially this week. We are not helpful because we know nothing about testicles and
testicles
stuff,
no,
and all that. So yeah, so just remember that if you need any advice, contact your doctor, not us.
Yeah, and always persist. Even if you like they say you're fine, keep going, because you never know until you're happy. But yeah, as Ali said, we are not
definitely not
doctors,
no,
so we can't answer medical queries.
But yeah, so after like doing a little bit of research for the show, I've realized quite like the diseases that impact, like the cancers that impact men the most compared to women, it's very different. I kind of thought it almost wouldn't be, but that was a bit stupid of me.
No, yeah, I think do you know, there was, I've already done like a post on the Instagram because it started with Movember, and that's what kind of we sparked our interest to do this today, because we were basically like thinking, you know, we talk about women's cancer and we are two girls, so sometimes we could easily really forget to like talk about men's cancer. But we've made it like a priority today to just dedicate the whole show to it, to be honest.
Before I contradict that, I just feel like that it's really a little bit exciting bit of news before I forget to say it later on. Don't know if you saw that the HPV jab has reduced cervical cancer rates by like 90%.
I've seen that. Absolutely I was mad. Literally love gobsmacked that. By that this week. I was like, oh my god, how amazing is that?
Yeah,
fantastic.
I got my wristband at school when I was vaccinated with the 1, 2, 3 against HPV or something like that.
Really?
So yeah, I love that little wristband after the jabs.
That's absolutely fantastic though. Really good news there. Good thing for highlighting.
Back to the men now.
Back to men, yeah. So we're just going to go through just some men's cancers. I think I'm going to list like the top 5 most common cancers for men to get. And then Ali's going to take you through testicular cancer signs, symptoms.
Yes, because I'm very experienced.
Ali knows all about testicular cancer signs.
I know all
symptoms.
About them.
So just to whiz through, but like the 5, which I was actually shocked by, but the 5 most common cancers are prostate, lung, bladder, melanoma, which is skin cancer, and every time I say this word, I get it wrong. It's so embarrassing, but I should know how to say it. Colorectal.
I think it sounds right to me. I might be wrong.
Oh god, so embarrassing if I said that wrong. But yeah, they are actually the most common cancers for men to get. So prostate being the number 1 cancer risk for men, and the number 2 cancer killer. So basically, some symptoms, prostate cancer can often occur without symptoms, but symptoms are more likely if the disease is advanced, and they include, you know, straining to pass urine, leaking urine, bloody urine, and bone pain. And
all really fun.
Oh, lovely, lovely things. But, you know, if you do spot anything like that, I would get yourself to a GP, say like, what is going on, and, you know, just get it checked out. And yeah, and then I won't take you through all of them because I will post it on my Instagram later, but I thought highlighting prostate cancer was a good idea because that is Movember highlights prostate cancer, and also it is being the number 1 risk. I think it was like quite important to share that with everyone.
Definitely.
So yeah, and then yeah, the other one is testicular cancer.
Yeah, I will chat you through that now. So signs and symptoms to look out for is a painless swelling or lump in one or both testicles, lower back pain, pain or feeling of heaviness in the scrotum, dull or aching pain in the groin, and sometimes swollen breasts, which is a bit of a random one.
That is quite random. And you would not, if you had a swollen breast as a man, you would not think, oh, I've got testicular cancer.
No, it's the same way that I know, I don't think it's a symptom, it might not be, but if like I was thought I had cervical cancer and my breasts were swollen, my brain would automatically go breast cancer,
exactly.
Not cervical cancer.
Yeah.
So
you would
yeah.
not think testicular cancer. And that's what it is with cancer, isn't it? It's like you don't, these symptoms, I think we've not even mentioned that, but they're so, like, you so would not think that's cancer. Like, this is one of the things that happened to me last year when I had lymphoma. I didn't think, oh, that's cancer. It's just, and you know, I just think that's so strange, isn't it? You just think, because we day to day we all get ailments and like we all get ill and stuff like that, and you kind of just think, and it is usually nothing. So when it's something like that, like your breast is swollen, you would just be like, oh, that'll go away.
Yeah, again, not to fear monger, like obviously, like young people do get cancer, not everyone, but it's mad because you do think to yourself, I'm too young to get it. And it's just like, and like, you yeah. don't real, I don't think your brain goes, oh, okay, that's a sign of cancer.
No.
I think you just go, I
said, no, seriously, that's exactly what happened to me. And if I am literally living proof because I literally said to myself, there's no way, there is so, that's what kept reassuring me throughout all my tests last year. I was like, there's no way that this could be cancer. There's just no way. I didn't even know like about, like I said, all the time. I didn't know about lymphoma, but you know, it's the young part, it throws you off, I think. Mm. Which when you're older, you don't really have that, do you? I think when you're older, you're anticipating, you're more prepared for something like that to happen. But when you're younger, you do forget that's like a possibility, I think.
Yeah, and that's the point of the show. So I think after this we'll get going with some more fun ways to check yourself, and also possibly with our interview with Tom Hunt.
Well, it's worked.
We fixed the mic. We
that
didn't press
was
a button basically, so it's not broken. It's,
no,
that was
really actually the most mortifying thing I've ever actually just gone through my whole life. That was I'm Coming Out by Diana Ross. But what we've just realised, you know how we were having like technical difficulties to start with? So we, like, what we do in that situation is we speak to the, you know, the studio people who all know about like computing and everything, and they said send a picture of like this desk, and we sent it, and they went you need to press the on button.
See, the issue is the others are like automatically on, so it wasn't really our fault, because that's something that will be learnt with time.
That was actually horrendous. Can't believe that's just happened. Anyway, yeah, we move.
Again, apologies for the beginning of the show. But anyway, now we have a really exciting segment that we mentioned earlier. We have Tom Hunt's interviews. Tom Hunt is a medical student at the University of Manchester, and he was diagnosed with leukemia in 2018, and it's a really interesting story he has to tell, and how he dealt with it and how he feels about Movember. So we've got that to play for you guys now. It was recorded earlier, but it was very exciting. We really hope you enjoy, and then we'll discuss it when we're back.
Definitely. Hope you enjoy, guys.
Play it, Valentina.
Let's hope this is smooth. And here we go.
So I was diagnosed in 2018. Yeah, it seems like a long time ago now. September 2018. So I'd had a few sort of like very vague symptoms for maybe 2 or 3 months before it. But I'd put it all down to the fact I was working, going out, I'd just finished A-levels. So I had like a few swollen lymph nodes, just sort of feeling more and more tired as time went on. And then about a week or two before, I just got really, really ill, had like a really bad chest and throat infection. And I was coming out in like this little rash on my legs as well, and like banged my knee, and it had gone really, really swollen because my platelets were low, and it basically just wouldn't stop the bleeding. So I went and actually saw the GP. He said it was just a chest infection, said it should be fine, gave me some antibiotics, but a couple of days later, I was still feeling a bit rubbish, really. So I emailed him and went back in, and that's when it sort of, the whole thing kicked off. He did a blood test and was like, you need to get to hospital straight away, something's not right. We still weren't sure, so they ran loads of tests then. And I found out 3 days later, so I saw the GP on the Monday, from again on the Wednesday, and by Friday, we knew everything.
Sorry, this is a stupid question, but if you don't mind me asking, what stage were you diagnosed with?
So because of the nature of it, they don't actually stage it, because it's not like a solid tumour. So it's because it's in the bone marrow, so it's inside the bones. There's no lump, there's no like way of telling. You've just got to start the treatment and see how it goes.
Wow.
That's like really similar to how like, I found out, you know, how like basically I went with something like I had like swollen lymph nodes, went, and they basically said, oh no, they were like, it's like a muscular strain, and then that sent me away. So it's like interesting that we were both like, you know, sent away, you know, thinking it was something else. But yeah, so what did you, you know, what like, after you were diagnosed and everything, would you say through treatment and everything like that, because you had like a very, like, I think a more aggressive form of treatment than I did. I don't know what actually you had. I don't know if you had chemotherapy or what did you end up
with? I just had the standard one. I didn't actually need much of the extras. It responded really, really well straight away. So I was just on the basic, like not basic, but like the standard regime for what I had. So I think it's 5 cycles. So they all differ. So the first one, you do it as an inpatient. So you're in for 30 days pretty much. Then from then on, you're an outpatient, so it's another month after that of a different cycle of like weekly chemo. Then you have a couple of weeks off to try and recover, and then you do like a really, really chilled one then.
Yeah.
I say chilled, like obviously it's not chilled, but compared to what the first couple were, it's a lot nicer. You just go onto the tablets for a month. Then after the tablets, you do the 4th cycle of IV, and then after that, you do 2.5 years of tablets, which I'm still on now, and I'll actually finish next month.
Ooh, that's good. Oh my god,
I can't believe that. I spoke to the doctor yesterday and he was like, yeah, so you'll pick up the meds for this week tomorrow, and then after that, that'll be your last one after that. And I was like,
how weird is that?
I didn't really believe it. Yeah, it's mad, isn't it?
That's so mad, because it's been going on for so long for you, so just it's like probably like part of your routine now. That's so different. I had like 3 months of treatment, and then I basically got told like I was having like one more treatment and that was it. But when you said, I don't even know how many cycles I literally had, but you had 5 cycles. That's like insane. Would you say, like, I don't know if there's any difference between, you know, from like my experience to yours, like as a guy, because I know like you went through like the body image and things like that, which I think I messaged you at the time because I was going through that as well. But I don't know how it, like, you know, it differed for you.
I don't know how it was for you, like, in depth, but for me it was more afterwards, which I feel like you said it was kind of similar. At the time when you're on the treatment, you just don't really care. You just want to crack on and like get on with that. Like,
yeah,
it's the last thing you can really think about is, oh, how do I look today? I couldn't care less. I was like, whatever, if people want to look, they can look. Like, I know it looks different. Like, you don't expect someone our age to have no hair and look really, really pale. Like, you just look ill. But then it's afterwards when you're trying to get back to normal and it still lingers around. And like, people always want to bring it up and always want to, oh, you're looking so well. And I'm like, I don't. I look like shit.
Literally, exactly that.
You know it. And you know you look terrible and people are trying to tell you you look good. And you're like, don't lie to me. Like, it doesn't do anything for me.
I know. That's what Ali said, because her auntie had cancer and you said that you were like telling your auntie, like, you look fine. And then afterwards, like, when everything like basically calmed down, the auntie was like, oh no, we knew, like, you were lying to us, basically.
She was on coffee from steroids, and then we told her, and then we were like, no, you just look like you're just the same, just no hair. And then she, when she finished treatment and she was no longer on the steroids, she was like, you're liars, all liars.
Yeah, I've got pictures now, like, I go back and have a look at them with my mates, and it genuinely looks nothing like me, like, at all.
Yeah, but you were so positive though, Tom. Like, I remember when you got ill, you were the first person I'd ever known, like, who got ill. And you had basically created your own Instagram and you were like making a joke out of it. And like, it was just like really interesting to see how you were like, you kind of documented it as like, I don't know if that was like a coping mechanism for you or like you just felt like you should kind of just let everyone know. Cause I went the opposite way. I said, I didn't say anything to anyone.
I don't know. I felt like when I found out, I never really thought about the negatives. I was just like, let's just crack on with it then. Like, my first, when they told me, obviously you get upset and everything, but my first response straight away was, why are we waiting until Monday to start putting this stuff in me then? Like, let's do it today. Like, I don't want to wait. So I feel like everyone's just different. And for me, it was just, if we can have a laugh about it, it would probably just be a bit easier in the short term.
Yeah.
And it definitely helped.
And what would you give, like, any advice to people like going through it now?
There was something someone said to me when I started. I think his wife had had it recently. And it's like, when you first start, it just seems like every day is a bad day. Like, it gets worse and worse for a couple of weeks and it just doesn't seem to be getting better. And then you turn a bit of a corner. I don't know if you felt like this, but you feel like all of a sudden, actually, you're getting somewhere and the good days start to outnumber the bad days. So it's just remembering that, like, you're going to have bad days, but you'll end up having more good days than bad days and you'll get through it.
Definitely.
I've got a question.
Go on,
if you don't mind. So part of what we're doing when we're discussing like Movember and, you know, men's awareness is mental health side of things as well. Would you say that as a boy, was it harder to just talk about health issues with other men, boys, or etc., or do you think that that wasn't an issue?
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. Like, I tried not to speak to too many people actually in the hospital because everyone's doing their, like, on their own sort of journey with it, and you don't want to get too involved with other people. So I tried not to actually speak to other people there. Like, my mum would always chat to everyone, and I'd leave the place and be like, "Mum, don't, like, it might end badly. I don't want to do that." It sounds really harsh, but you've just got to focus on yourself.
Mm.
It's more. Again, I'll say, when you're actually on the intense treatment, it's not that bad mentally. I feel like you just crack on with it. It's after you finish it, you sort of lose that safety net of getting your bloods done every day, seeing the nurses every day. Like, if you've got some random little symptom, you can just tell them. They'll be like, oh yeah, that's dead normal. You're taking this. It's because of that. It's the mental aspect afterwards which is much harder, in my opinion anyway.
And you had like you felt like you could talk to your friends and stuff about it. Like, you were felt like...
Yeah.
That was okay for you today, because obviously the whole thing with that men and mental health is that obviously that I think that's why me and Ali have decided to do like a special week on it, because of Movember, because men don't talk about it. So we were just seeing, you know, whether you feel like insecure about talking about it because of that, or also that you advise other guys like not to, because there's nothing really to be insecure about it. Like you said, it's kind of just one of those things.
Yeah. I found, well, my dad worked a lot, so it was my mum who tended to take me to hospital more stuff, and I actually spoke to her a lot more about it, just because we spent so much time together. And again, like, if I am going to speak to anyone, it would be like my close friends who I'd, I wouldn't like take this one side and be like, oh, I need to chat to you about this. I'd just bring it up. And I feel like we can then just have a conversation about it. Like, if you put too much pressure on it, then the pressure's there to like, oh, you've got this big issue, let's figure out how to solve it. Sometimes you don't even need to solve it, you just need to speak to someone about it, and then they it helps massively, which you wouldn't think. You don't even need to have a solution, but it just, getting it off your chest, getting it out in the open, it means it's not weighing you down anymore. I really find that helps me a lot.
I think, yeah, definitely. And that, like, coming from, that's exactly the same thing happened to me, where when I got diagnosed, I literally just, my sister said she was freaked out because I'm quite talkative and I didn't talk for like 2 weeks. And then I just literally was in the car one day and I just offloaded everything to my dad. Bless him. I offloaded everything to him, but I felt like that after that moment, like I felt like I could really start to actually approach it and, you know, deal with it and actually get to grips with what was going on. So yeah, I think that was great advice, just like talk and stuff, get it out there basically, make the first step. And Tom's doing Movember, Ali.
I think the other thing as well, just...
Oh, sorry, go on, Tom.
I was going to say the other thing as well, just bringing it up sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
I don't know if either of you two have ever found with anything, but I just feel like if you mention something sooner, you don't end up overthinking it, and it just sort of leaves your mind sooner.
Yeah,
we discussed that with... the things, obviously I'm fortunate enough that I haven't had cancer, but when we were discussing like finding like lumps in your breasts and stuff like that, it's I was talking about how like I was scared to tell my mum, and for what reason, I think I was scared to like tell her that in case it was something and then she'd be really worried, but then, you know, why wait and cause me more fear and anxiety?
Yeah, it's embarrassing as well, isn't it? Like, it shouldn't be, but it is. You don't want to admit there could be something wrong with you. You just want to sort of ignore it. But then that's actually the worst thing to do, because
literally
ignoring it just puts it off and can make it worse.
Exactly that. That's like what we try and emphasise like on the show. We try and say, you know, you just need to get it out there, be proactive, talk about it, because otherwise it festers, gets worse, and nothing's going to change, basically. That's really good. I think, yeah, so the only thing I was going to say is, yeah, if you want to say why you're doing Movember and everything like that, you can see you getting a little mustache there, Tom.
So it's terrible, it's so bad. I have zero ability to grow any facial hair, like it's terrible. I was gonna do it for something a bit closer to home in terms of like with the cancer, but I just thought it's a bit, I don't know, I was just bored of it. I wanted to do something else, and I know I've found especially with the pandemic and everything, mental health has like obviously been harder for everyone. Like, even people who've never struggled before have found themselves going down really sort of dark alleys with it at times. Just think it's worth raising money and awareness, because it would just get people chatting, get people talking. And even if it just helps one person, all the money goes towards, you know, paying your mental health nurse for the day. It's better than not being there at all, isn't it?
You raised like £400. That's already, haven't you?
About 350 at the moment.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, so hopefully, I want to get to 500. I'll be happy with that.
500.
Oh, Valentina, point me in the right direction and I'll spot donate in.
Okay, yeah.
But yeah, if you check out his Instagram, I think you'll find the link to his donation page, which I will be donating to.
I'll put it on the Care to Share as well.
Go to Care to Share.
So you can donate. But a fantastic cause and a fantastic interview as well, because it was just, I just felt like that was so helpful. Like,
oh, definitely.
It was very refreshing to hear that from someone else who's also been through it, even just for me, to be honest.
Also, I think it's quite good as well, because you guys have had two very different experiences.
Yeah, very, very, very different.
Yeah, and I just think it's really interesting that, like, you know, kind of similar thing you guys went through, but it's such a different...
But just complete different perspectives. But it was also interesting because there was quite, like, a lot of similarities in, like, the way he dealt with things. You know, when he was saying things like the way he just kind of needed to just offload, like, that was the exact same for me, and I felt like I needed when you did do things like offload, like you've probably just heard in the interview, but when you offload like that, which goes for anything in life, I think, especially young adults, when you do that, it's just making that first move, and then you feel so good afterwards. Like, you just feel, it's like when you have a really good cry. I don't know if Definitely. You feel the same way, but I sleep so well after a really good cry.
Yeah, I do.
I don't
as
know
well.
If that's really sad, but
no, I was trying to explain to my housemate that, like, he doesn't really understand that I enjoy crying. That's
yeah,
like an
it
emotional
feels
release.
Really good.
Yeah,
but I think that's because, I don't know if that's because we're girls as well, but that's the whole point of today, isn't it? That we actually, we're happy to say we enjoy crying, like, yeah. on radio, on air, but guys are really, like, scared. Not scared, but I just think they just don't, it's all about masculinity and all those type of issues, which I found a statistic before which said, like, 52% of men are scared to actually go to a doctor to get, like, something checked out
mm.
because it's, like, emasculating or they're embarrassed to.
This is a bit off topic, but did you guys go to the same hospital, do you know?
Yeah, we went to the Christie together. We yeah. actually missed each other every single time because he'd finished his treatment, like, you know, like the proper treatment, and then he was on his mm. tablets, but he came for appointments and stuff. But every single time, I think we, like, literally missed each other.
That's so interesting, though.
We were in the same, like, I don't know young what they're people. Called, like, little unit. Yeah, the young adult clinic, that's it. And I remember because I was sat there and I said to one of the people, you know, social, like, one of the guys that was, like, helping out, and I said, oh, yeah, you know, the only other person I know, just happened to say, like, Tom Hunt. And he said, oh, I knew Tom Hunt. I was like, oh, my God, this is so strange. I was like, I can't believe I'm here and I'm talking about Tom Hunt in the Christie Hospital. But, yeah, very, very strange. And I messaged Tom Hunt when he was ill at the very, very beginning mm. and he got diagnosed. And I said, oh, like, I hope that, like, you get through this and everything. Didn't know 2 or 3
but
years
yeah,
later that I would
in,
be there as
in
well
the same boat.
And he would be consoling me, but yeah, interesting how life works. So Ali's going to take us through how to check for testicular cancer.
Testicular cancer,
yeah.
So as you may know, I'm probably really experienced with this. So first of all, the best way to do it is get in the shower.
Get in
steamy.
The shower. This is turning weird.
Yeah, it gets steamy. No, and you want to, but I think it makes it easier to check. And then basically you want to roll one nut between your thumb and forefinger or fingers and look for any signs of lumps or just changes. So again, similar to breast cancer week, find what's normal for you. And then if you feel something weird and different or pain, you better get that checked out at the GP, because if in doubt, check it out. So then you want to repeat that on the other nut, and Bob's your uncle, you're done.
Very helpful advice there, Ali.
So do you have any advice for prostate cancer?
Well, the thing is, prostate cancer, isn't it, you've just got to be aware, like I said before, of the symptoms, so that you then you're, like, prepared. But I think, I'm sure, please tell me if I'm wrong, I don't even know, but I'm sure you can't check that yourself. You'd have
no,
to go.
No, from what I've seen in films and stuff.
Yeah, it's all about, that's why men are so scared
to go there,
especially because of that. But do not be scared, because no one cares about that but you.
Yeah, I think it's
not to be cutthroat there.
Backdoor access.
It's true, though. Guys are so scared about that, but literally don't be, because just science. It's literally biology, anatomy. The doctors have done it 1,000,000,000 times, and just go and get it done.
One thing that the Movember website with their nuts and bolts campaign says is that you should remember, when you have all this stuff, if you don't want to talk to your friends, you can access your community in so many different ways. It's on the website, where you're not alone. Other people going through the same thing as you, whether they actually have cancer or just have a benign symptom of it.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. It's like a, not to say community, but it is, like, semi like that. Like, we all are in the same boat and everyone's feeling
Definitely.
The same way, which was why it was so helpful to get an outside perspective today. You know, Tom Hunt coming on, because he's, like, helped us realise as well, you know, and hopefully helped other people realise that it's obviously not just us who care about things like this, but it's actually something that everyone should really, like, think about and stuff like that.
Definitely.
So yeah, I think now we'll just talk a little bit about, like, mental health and stuff like that.
Very important,
because I think Tom raised like a good few points, to be honest, about, you know, don't put too much pressure on yourself. And this is specifically we will probably dedicate some time, obviously, to girls and everything like that, but mental health for them as well. But for men, it's a big one, because the problem is with men is that obviously that is that with men is that it's obviously like they don't talk about it. So yeah, I think what he raised, what was the key points? He said stuff like, you know, don't put pressure on yourself, don't make it a big thing, talk to people, but don't like make it like, you know, I really specifically want to talk about this. Yeah. Just naturally talk about it.
Just talk to your friends about it, because I think if you go being like, oh God, like, I need to schedule a time where I can talk to them about cancer, it becomes such more of a bigger deal than it needs to be.
Yeah.
And also, like, you might have had this. I feel like, obviously, they probably don't relate to the experience the same way, like, I don't really relate to your experience, Valentina. But I feel like when you have a friend who's gone through it, you then become so much more aware. So it's actually educational for you to talk about it.
100%. That is definitely, like, before it came to my family, we only really had, like, my granddad who'd been ill. And my dad actually had bladder cancer, but we weren't told about it at the time. But other than that, we really didn't have any knowledge, and we didn't understand it, and we didn't think. I knew it was important, but I didn't think it was going to happen to me, and I never put any like importance onto it, in the sense that, you know, I just knew like other people had it, and that was like away from me. Yeah. But like you said, talking to friends about it can educate them, it can help them, it can help them be more aware, and you know, in the future they'll know how to deal with other people who are ill, or if they got ill themselves. It's just very good to like speak about things, and I think it just massively just helps you, doesn't it, more than anything. And like I mentioned on the interview, the way I just let offload is my dad. It was just that started me in, like, got me going basically in the process of actually accepting what was happening to me. And that is key. And you just got to just find that courage to just say something, or, you know, it's not even courage. It's just, you've got to just find it in you somehow to just make that first step, reach out to anyone that's next to you, that's close to you. But you don't have to make it a big thing. Just casually say it if you need to, and you'll get their opinion and their advice, and it will just make you feel more normal about it. And the worst thing you can do is exist, like, let it exist only in your head, I think. You know, if you just let it fester and you overthink, and that's like the worst thing that could possibly happen, because you're just going to make it into something that's basically going to just snowball out of control, and nothing's going to change basically as a result.
No, definitely. So Movember has something quite interesting called Movember Conversations, which is about no more dead-end conversations to do with mental health. And it's to support the men in your life, or if you yourself are a man. And it's quite interesting. So it's called Reach Out with Alec. So you start with A, by asking how they're feeling. L, let them know you're listening, yeah, and give them your full attention. And then you have E, which is to encourage them to focus on simple things that could improve how they feel. And then the last one, you have C, for check in with them after you chat. And it's about starting conversation. And I think they also have the I don't want to babble on and you just sit there listening to me, Valentina, as well, but there are some like reasons why you think someone should be checked up on, and that is with so first of all, if a man who is withdrawn and obsessing over something, or a man who is juggling work and family, or a man who's unemployed and uncertain. So this is just a lot, like a few examples of the kind of person who might need, you know, to have an Alec with them. And it's quite interesting because it just shows you that men just deal with it differently, because I feel like, yes, women can portray these signs as well, but personally, I think if I was having a problem, you'd just see me crying.
No, it's so true. That's a really good way to look at it, and quite a nice, what are they called? Acronym,
I think.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it as well. And I think that's the whole key with Movember, which is why we kind of thought it was a perfect time to talk about everything. No more, what is it, dead-end conversations?
No more dead-end conversations.
Which is good. And shout-out to everyone who's doing Movember as well, because that's really helpful for people.
Yeah. So Movember, you're probably aware, everyone, that you grow a moustache for it, or facial hair. If you're like me and Valentina, well, you can't. You can also do run 60 kilometres.
Sounds a lot.
sounds a lot, but it's over a month. And, you know, if you divided it every day, that'd be 2K a day, which can take you, like, 10 minutes if you really put your mind to it.
Yeah.
So
10 minutes. 2K, sorry. 2K in 10 minutes?
Okay, fine. Let's say more like 15.
Let's say more like half an hour. No,
I think you do 2K walking in half an hour.
No.
To be fair, I'm quite tall, so I've got long legs.
You just stride and you're done. No, that's a good alternative. And it shows our support as well. So I think that's it's a good thing to, you know, flag up that you can actually get involved if you really, really want to. But yeah, I think that's like quite a good coverage of what we kind of wanted to get through today. Yeah. Sign symptoms, get some actual personal experience in there for everyone listening. And yeah, next week, I don't even know what we're going to talk about next week. Probably we'll maybe focus in maybe more mental health, tackle some other young adult cancers. But everything will be posted on Care to Share 1350, which is the Instagram.
Definitely.
So keep updated with that. We always update with, you know, everything we've talked about on the show.
So play some games.
Maybe play some games. I kind of fancy that.
Yeah.
I cannot wait till near Christmas and I'm going to be whacking on so many Christmas tunes.
I'm really listening to them in my car when I drive, so I have no shame.
You're not already listening to Christmas
My family
songs.
Is the kind of family that put Christmas tree up right now.
Don't, because you know, like, when I was ill last year, my dad thought I was actually insane because me and my sister just went out and bought a Christmas tree and put it. I was like, Dad, you need to come pick this up.
Yeah.
And he was like, you're actually joking. It's like 5th of November, Tina. I was like, don't care.
Boxing Day's over. Tree goes up.
I felt like it was too soon though last year. I'm going to hold out till the York Christmas markets are on.
That's Thursday, the November 18th. I'm ready for it.
I will be popping my Christmas tree up then.
We have a seminar on Thursday, so right before I'm going to the Christmas market.
Stop, I am so excited. Oh, I'm going to be putting so much Michael Bublé on Christmas album.
Oh, my favourite is Love Bit Mariah Carey, all of Christmas.
Everything. Soon. Stay tuned because we'll just put so many songs on that week as well.
Definitely.
Not even talk
Christmas.
About cancer.
Like, you guys will be sick of that. You'll be like, oh, bloody. You'll be like, oh, it's November and
Christmas songs again. But who cares? We're gonna do it near the time. Get ready. Stay tuned.
Mm.
And we'll update like what we're gonna talk about every week. And we're nearing the end. To be fair, Ali.
Yeah, we are actually. Yeah, because we're not releasing.
Should we drop
soon.
Some like maybe just talk about something about mental health quickly before we go? I know we've touched on Movember and everything like that, but mental health, we'll put some information on Instagram,
some resources, where to go.
I'm happy that this is such a good everyone's more aware of this conversation now.
Definitely,
because in the past this was like you just taboo, no one talked about this, but now like I feel like everyone's getting more used to it. It's actually becoming a thing. And that's really good. I think everyone needs to, because mental health is as important. You know, when I was ill last year, they said it's half your physical well-being, which is obviously fighting the cancer, but it's actually half your mental as well. And I was shocked by that because I was thinking, no, sure, it's just my body that needs to fight this disease. It's your mind as well, because your mind's so powerful. It's your outlook. And to stay positive is so difficult. So if you are diagnosed with cancer, the mental health side of it is key, and that's
definitely.
And you speak to your doctors about it.
Support networks.
What I did was my family eliminated all stress from me, and all I had to think about was going to my treatment and then living my best life for 2 weeks. And then I went to treatment again, but it was like no stress was surrounding me. I had no worries. My main focus was on getting better, and just I was kind of still being normal really, like with my family. So do whatever suits you, but make sure that you put mental health as a priority during your treatment if you ever did get diagnosed. And if you ask, and I think the key is what we need to mention here is the correlation between mental health and cancer, which is, you know, before you get, if you have a scare, that's also mental health, because that's what I went through a couple of weeks ago. That's mental health. I couldn't do anything for 2 days because I was so scared that I'd potentially got cancer again. And I literally couldn't do my work. And that's big for Tina.
But it's like when we were saying with Tom, just tell someone. The more you stress
just say
about
it,
the worse it's going to be.
It's just getting the words out there, finding the words, as cliche as it sounds. But I just made the phone call to my sister. And by saying that, I cried and everything like that for ages.
Yeah, but I can tell your friends and family, obviously I don't have experience, but I can imagine your friends and family being much more willing. They'd rather you come for help
100%
than you sit there and try not to worry them and figure it out on your own.
Yeah, my sister was like she was said, Tina, just tell me anytime you're worried, just say it, because I'd why are you sitting there like panicking when you can be it can be easily resolved and we can fix it and we do it together. And that is like the reassurance that I will carry with me forever.
Good.
But yeah, we'll pop a song on now.
Yeah, so thank you for listening, guys.
Thank you so much for listening, and thank you so much to Tom Hunt for doing that for us today. Because
check out his Instagram.
Donate to his Movember, because that was really helpful for us today. And we encourage you all to DM us on Instagram if you really want to be part of this show. Because we're looking for people, you know, friends or family of cancer patients, if you're a cancer patient, if you're an ex-cancer patient, if you've already had cancer, anything surrounded it. If you want to, like, come in here, talk about things, talk through things, maybe get it off your chest, maybe feel like you just want to help someone else. You don't even have to be anything related to cancer. If you just want to come and talk to us, we will literally set something up. It can be like 10 minutes like we did today with Tom, and we will have it all sorted for you.